Is it possible that the calendar system that the majority of the world uses today is significantly different than the original calendar intended by God? Could it be that the mysterious Essenes of the Dead Sea Scrolls fame accurately laid out all four ages of human history, even going so far as to predict that the time after Jesus would be the Age of Grace, or the Church Age? Our guests explain this and more right now. Welcome, welcome to Skywatch Television. I'm Joe Horn. We are back with another totally loaded program. And returning to the studio without further ado, he's the author of over 20 books related to biblical and extra-biblical texts. He's the CEO of BibleFacts.org, Dr. Ken Johnson. Author of numerous best-selling books and the writer, editor, and director of the blockbuster film Silent Cry, The Darker Side of Trafficking, Josh Peck.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me.
What can I say, fellas? If you missed last week's program, you have to go back. We're talking about two explosive new books, The Lost Prophecies of Qumran and The Ancient Mysteries of the Essenes by Dr. Ken Johnson. And again, last week I led with, you know, characters like Melchizedek, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Essenes. Man, you have got to go back. Why this is so important to what's unfolding now in the Middle East, around the world in terms of Bible prophecy, because as Tom, you kind of explained last week after comments that I had made about how a lot of churches don't really pay any attention to these subjects, what's it all about? A lot of, you know, not making judgments, but what I describe entertainianity. That's a word that I've come up with that I use to describe so much of what I see happening in today's modern church. But they're totally missing very relevant, very timely things that are unfolding now that are explained brilliantly in both of these works, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you had just started talking about the three different volumes that are actually published in your new Ancient Mysteries of the Essenes, the Ken Johnson collection. These are three books that you wrote. But one of the books that's included in this collection is an entire book on the calendar itself. And understanding the significance, the prophetic significance of the ancient Essene calendar is very significant to this conversation. Now, so the calendar, did you find it? Did you go to Israel and dig it up out of the dust? I mean, how in the world did you recreate this calendar that was used by this ancient Jewish community?
Actually, no, I have allergies. I don't No, what had happened That's was I have a lot of the scrolls from a ways back. But basically, a lot of us have been kind of working on this because the basic text that is easy to understand is that the Zedekite priest taught that there was an original calendar. It's really easy. It's the same one in the Old Testament. So, for instance, Passover is the 14th of the first month, which is Nisan. It's all the same. But when do you start and how do you do a year? Well, the Essenes said it's a solar calendar. It starts with the spring equinox, and that's pretty much it. And so there is a prophecy, actually a couple of prophecies, that when the apostasy hits, which would have been about 200 BC, more or less, that they would wind up switching out for a lunar calendar. So same basic calendar, but it's off. Think about this for a minute, though. If you're a high priest and you go in to do the ritual wrong, what happens? You die, right?
Right.
One way you can do it wrong is to do the actual ritual part perfectly, but do it on the wrong day.
Okay.
Very, very important to them, not so much to us. But they talked about that, and they said that the apostasy would happen and it would switch over to a lunar calendar. And so what I had done is I had put that together. Everybody was still debating on how to do the leap week or the leap year type system.
Right.
So I skipped over that and went and recreated the entire calendar as far as the ages, that kind of stuff. By that time, the Bar Ilan University in Tel Aviv, they had a lot of scientists working on this, and they finally figured out how to do the leap week. So I was able to pull it back together. We wrote the book, Ancient Dead Sea Scroll Calendar, and my main website is BibleFacts.org, but I created a second website, DSScalendar.org.
Okay.
And you can go there. It's mobile-friendly, but it'll just show you the dates. But we also have on there everything that explains how the calendar works with pretty good graphics. And so you can understand why and how those things work.
Was the difference, though, between the calendars, is this part of why the Essene community basically left living around the scribes and Pharisees, Jerusalem, and went out into the wilderness? Is that why they separated themselves?
Yeah, part of it. What had happened is they started getting more and more worldly. And then the Essenes said, we have to use the right calendar, we have to have the right doctrine, you have to have a proper understanding of Messiah. And the apostasy rose up and started actually assassinating them. Mm. So they fled to Alexandria, Egypt, actually built a temple down there, and said that the prophecies were specific. We'd wait until the threat was neutralized, and that happened when Rome came in 64 BC. Then everybody was okay. You're not supposed to kill anybody else. Then they moved back into Qumran, and they prophesied that one from our order would actually be the one to fulfill the voice crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of Messiah, who is our God. Even Micah says that. Mm-hmm. And so it's amazing to see how that goes together.
Well, this major effort, this suppression of knowledge, seems to me at its core to be Luciferian, to be satanic, mm-hmm. that there is a spirit behind all of this that wanted to suppress the arrival of Christ, even with Herod, who was predicted by the Essenes, mm-hmm. setting about to try to kill the baby Messiah. Child that was going to be born. So there's been this spirit. Now you leap forward into today, what's going on in Afghanistan. I ask you some questions about whether, you know, any of the Afghani Christians might actually be related somehow genealogically or otherwise back to the ancient Essene community, because all of a sudden, and you had said, maybe you can say some more about that, you had said that there's actually prophecies in the Dead Sea Scrolls that talk about at the end time the rise of Islam and the role that it will play. Well, now all of a sudden, I mean, look at what's going on in Afghanistan, and immediately the characters that are coming in this sense, they're just like the old scribes and Pharisees in that their very first effort is to suppress the Christian community and knowledge about Christ. So, but at the very same time, we'll get into this in a moment, the Essenes saw the final age of man beginning literally right around the corner, and now, voila, here it comes, this revival of the persecution of the knowledge that would have came from these ancient Essenes and into Christianity, right?
Yeah, actually, there is a document written by Gad the seer, who's the prophet in David's time, mm-hmm. but he actually predicted the rise of the apostate religious system right at the end, right before the second coming of Messiah. And of course, they all taught two comings of the Messiah, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that he mentioned is that there's two anti-Semitic powers, one headquartered in Saudi Arabia somewhere, whose symbol would be a crescent moon. Remember, this is 1000 BC, like 1500 years before Islam even came. Mm. But Islam's not the problem.
Right.
There's another anti-Semitic power who's headquartered in Rome, Italy. Mm-hmm. Now, back at that time, Rome was nothing. Mm-hmm. But these two Semitic powers, anti-Semitic powers, become powers themselves. They are not the problem. But in the end times, factions of these two groups come together to create this, what we would call the Babylonian mystery religion, mm-hmm. which causes a person, the Antichrist, to rise to power, and then he destroys that and creates his new system.
Well,
so it's interesting to see that happening.
Yeah, so was John aware of the predictions of the Essenes? Because he's the one who is, when he's talking about the rise of Babylon mystery religion, and he says, I'm going to tell you the mystery, right? This is that city. And he uses it in the current sense. he's in the city of Rome. Mm-hmm. This is that city that will provide the basis for this end times final Roman emperor, the arrival of Antichrist, the fulfillment of many of these ancient prophecies, actually.
Yeah, John and his brother, we're told, were disciples of John the Baptist. And from the other manuscripts, we know that John the Baptist ran the school of the prophets. He understood the prophecies very well. Mm-hmm. There's actually an amazing thing. Most of us know in Matthew chapter 11, where John sends a representative to say, are you he who is to come, or should we look to another?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we all say, why was he doubting Messiah? He wasn't. He was saying, were we right? Is there one Messiah with two comings or two? Should I be looking for another
one?
Yeah.
Jesus actually said, go back and tell him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And those prophecies are somewhat, most of them are in the Old Testament in different places, except the dead are raised. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about it, there is a manuscript called the Messianic Anthology, and it actually says this is what the Messiah would do when he comes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So we know that Jesus was actually quoting that Dead Sea Scroll. Mm-hmm. Wow. And since John was part of the school, he would know that. He'd be like, right. Oh, you're quoting, you know, that scroll. So, right. Okay, that's right. My answer.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That's incredible.
You know, those of us at Skywatch Television believe with all of our hearts that time is very short.
Absolutely.
We're not date setters, but when you look at what's happening all around the world, we feel very urgent about what we're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that basically the world is in a disastrous state, and its only hope is obviously Jesus Christ.
Yep.
I want to pivot back to the calendar, mm-hmm. because we're living out, I think, what is the last of the days here on earth. And understanding the calendar and the dates, et cetera, might help us better understand Bible prophecy and our role, of course, in that. Our responsibility as the remnant is to preach the love of Jesus and to take every person that we can with us into the next life. Dr. Kent, I want to ask you, the Dead Sea Scrolls, how is it different from today's Jewish calendar?
Well, basically, it's solar instead of Roman. So the way the modern Jewish calendar would work is Nisan, which would be the first month of the new year, is what it should be, the spring equinox. It starts on the new moon closest to the spring equinox. So you can be off up an entire month, and they have a leap month every 3 years. So it gets pretty far off as far as being accurate. The Dead Sea Scroll calendar has a leap week, so you keep the weeks perfectly. The Sabbath is always the Sabbath. Okay. New Year's is always the Wednesday closest to the spring equinox. Really easy to do. This year's 5946. We got 4 years, or actually 3.5 years now, before the last jubilee of this age. And wow. The church fathers, the Essenes, even the Pharisees and Sadducees at one point had predicted that by the year 6000 we would see the Messianic kingdom. Not to set a date, but I mean approximately at that time.
Right.
The scrolls also talk about you don't see very many miracles, healings, things like that until the end of an age. So in the next 4 or 5 years, we are going to see some major persecutions.
Yeah.
We are going to see some amazing miracles. You really wow. don't want to miss it.
Now, can you elaborate on that just for a second? Because you had the audience gasping.
Right.
Now, I'm not asking you to set dates or even specify a specific miracle, but just you glazed over that so quickly people were baited just then. You think we're on the brink of seeing some very significant miracles maybe our generation's never seen before.
Yeah, well, fair? For one thing, Paul mentioned eventually all Israel would be saved. We've already seen what's happened with the mm-hmm. Dead Sea Scrolls coming out starting in the 1970s and going forward. Hundreds of Messianic, or not hundreds, but hundreds of thousands mm-hmm. of Messianic Jews now exist. And I've got a lot of friends that are Jewish that are saying, don't tell me the Christian stuff. But then they gotcha. Look at the scrolls and they go, I've been lied to.
Wow.
Now, some of them are going into Kabbalah and other things because they don't like Christianity. Others are saying, don't tell my rabbi, but I'm going to look at the New Testament. And wow. several of them have become Christians. Well, wow. Messianics, you know.
Praise God.
And that's fine. They need to keep their Jewishness, but they just need to embrace Messiah. Amen. It is happening all over.
Wow. That's incredible.
Do you detail some of that in your book, The Ancient Mysteries of the Essenes?
Yeah, some of that is in there. One of the interesting things about it is they say that you interpret, well, the Pharisees interpreted the Old Testament by the Talmud, and it's got a lot of weird stuff in it. That's why they're messed up. We interpret the Old Testament by the New Testament, so that's why we understand it.
Mm-hmm.
They interpreted it by the Testaments of the Patriarchs, which are the writings of the patriarchal prophets from Adam through Aaron that actually talks about what's going to happen with the Messiah. One of the amazing things is that they reject Messiah and put him to death as the prophecy. The Testament of Aaron, this is Moses' brother, understand that,
mm-hmm.
actually writes, if you want to be in God's grace, make sure you have nothing to do with the nails.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. He specifically said nails.
What's that about? I would imagine it means crucifixion.
Absolutely.
My wild guess. but think about that. Aaron would have written this thing back at about 1400 BC.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's consistent all the way through the prophecies over and over again about Messiah.
Crucifixion hadn't even been invented or developed yet.
What a powerful tool, Tom, for conversion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
What he's describing is,
absolutely.
I mean, it's life-changing.
Another tool for conversion, which the generation that I grew up in understood, preaching the imminency
right.
of the second coming of Jesus Christ
right.
was
yes.
a powerful tool.
Right.
for, you know, taking the gospel of the world, getting people to respond, because they felt like, wow, you know, the Lord could appear at any moment. I got to get my stuff together. Mm-hmm. And made people stop and think. Now, what's interesting, Josh, is that the Essenes foresaw the beginning of the age of grace. They predicted that very age. And Jesus came at the early on. Yeah.
So the,
And so my I want you to explain that. But then my question is, might that also imply that the year 2025 in the Essene calendar begins the final age of mankind, the final jubilee? Is there any reason to believe that the second coming of the Messiah, which they foresaw, could happen early on following 2025?
Yeah, I think so. And again, not to set dates, but when you look at the events, not necessarily specific years, but when you look at the events in all of these ages, so an age is basically a 2,000-year period, and there's a final Sabbath age at the end of all that. That's the 1,000-year millennium of, you know, reign of Christ. They split each 2,000-year period up into smaller divisions, like how we have decades and centuries. Well, they had Shemitahs, Jubilees, Onas, things like that. A Jubilee is 50 years, and that was really important to them. So the previous age, we're in the Age of Grace right now, according to the Dead Sea Scrolls. The previous age was called the Age of Torah, which makes sense, and that ended in 75 AD. Well, think about everything that happened in that final 50 years of their age. So from 25 AD to 75 AD, you have the whole ministry of Jesus. You know, but think about when in that jubilee that occurred, right at the beginning. In 2025, we are entering into the final jubilee of our age. So like you mentioned, it's possible we could see a second return of Christ early in our final jubilee, because again, a lot of prophecies have to be fulfilled. And yes, we do have a 7-year tribulation, but there's other things that happen after that. We don't know how long it takes to establish the new rules for the whole millennial reign of Christ. I mean, we're talking about the entire world has to learn a whole new system of doing things under Jesus. How long is that going to take? Probably not going to be overnight. Mm-hmm. If that takes a few years, then that could set back the tribulation earlier into our final jubilee. So you can still have the jubilee end roughly 2075 AD and have that be the beginning of the millennial reign and still have an earlier return of Christ. So there's several ways this can play out, and that's why we can't really set dates.
Right.
There's a lot of prophecies, but like Ken said, these last 50 years, if the Essene calendar is correct, if it hasn't been tampered with, and if we're understanding it correctly, we are heading into some exciting and, for some people, terrifying times. But that's why it's important to get right with Christ now.
Amen. We're going to have to leave it right there for just a moment. Friends, we want to make sure that you know how you can get a copy of both of these incredible works. We'll be right back on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Call now and take advantage of SkyWatch TV's most groundbreaking deal of the year. With the rediscovery of the ancient prophecies from a mysterious group of prophets and scribes hundreds of years before Christ, your understanding of end times prophecy and the final age of man is about to be forever changed. In Josh Peck's new book, The Lost Prophecies of Qumran, the veil is lifted as you discover how much of what you've been taught about Israel in the first century is incomplete. Shockingly, there were Jewish believers who knew exactly what to expect from the coming Messiah, that he would be God in the flesh, would die for our sins, and even the date of his first arrival. In Josh Peck's new book, The Lost Prophecies of Qumran, you will discover lost prophecies only recently discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls about the time we are now living in, how the enigmatic group known as the Essenes formed and what influence they had on the New Testament, what hidden feasts and festivals the Essenes celebrated, and what messages the group left behind for believers living in the present age, how the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation fit within the Essene timetable, and how an ancient Jewish calendar actually predicts the prophetic significance of the year 2025. But that's not all. For the first time ever, you'll also receive Dr. Ken Johnson's massive 3-book collection entitled The Ancient Mysteries of the Essenes, where Dr. Johnson compiles 3 of his most groundbreaking research studies on the Dead Sea Scrolls into one massive collection. In Book 1, The Ancient Dead Sea Scrolls Calendar and the Prophecies It Reveals, you will discover the secrets of the mysterious 364-day calendar used by the ancients since the time of creation and how it has been hidden until now for the appointed time. In Book 2, Ancient Testimonies of the Patriarchs, Autobiographies from the Dead Sea Scrolls, you will hear the previously hidden prophetic texts of such patriarchs as Enos, grandson of Adam, Lamech, father of Noah, Amram, father of Moses and Aaron, and even Enoch from the Book of Enoch fame. And in the most shocking revelation yet, Book 3, The Ancient Order of Melchizedek, you will learn astonishing facts about the enigmatic priest Melchizedek, such as why his priesthood was and is different from that of Levi, why the Messiah was ordained after the order of Melchizedek, and how the facts surrounding this mysterious order dramatically affect the theology and practical applications of our Christian walk today. This collection is an absolute necessity for any researcher's library and for those who want to fully step into the minds of the ancients and see the Dead Sea Scrolls like they never have before. Now you can get this incredible collection for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So don't miss out on Skywatch TV's most groundbreaking deal of the year, the Lost Prophecies and Ancient Mysteries Collection, available now at skywatchtvstore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch Television. I'm Jill Horn. Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
Just some
wow.
of the comments we were exchanging with the live audience here in the break, it's just there's not enough time. So fascinating. Such powerful tools of mm-hmm. conversion.
Absolutely.
Josh, let's pivot here. The Lost Prophecies of Qumran.
Yes.
The Essene calendar. A lot of viewers at home may be wondering, does any of this actually show up in the Bible, though?
Yeah.
Because we should probably start there, right?
Right. Be a good idea. It's actually all over. And it's so funny because I remember I have always been interested in prophecy since I was a kid. And yeah. part of prophecy, you have to understand the patterns and the dates and the times and how does the Bible talk about things. Well, all throughout the Bible, there's a lot of dates and there's a lot of day counts. You know, mm-hmm. 120 days till this. And there's a lot of them. Some of them seem important and others don't really seem all that important, you know, if you just look at it. For example, Noah's flood. It's so specific, like how many days the waters were rising, when they started to... I mean, it's so specific, and it's like, why is that? The funny thing is, with the whole flood account, if you try to plug that into literally any other calendar in existence that's ever existed, doesn't work. It doesn't fit. Something's off.
Okay.
When you plug it into the Dead Sea Scroll calendar, the 364-day calendar... with the leap weeks and all the appropriate feast days and stuff like that, it fits perfectly.
Wow.
Now, it's not just Noah's account. That at least gives us some evidence that Noah may have been using this calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If it fits that perfectly, it's not just Noah's account. It's every account. Moses, when he ascended up the mountain to meet God. I mean, it's really specific with days there, too. There's actually parallels between those two accounts that I write about in the book. It's every occurrence that I've looked through, and I wrote about them in the book, but they all match up with this calendar. Not only in past events, but prophetic events.
Oh, wow.
So in prophecy, you get the same kind of day counts, you know, 1260 days till this, 1335, you get the same kind of language. If you know how to map it out in the Old Testament and some stuff in the New Testament, you can map it out prophetically. Mm-hmm. That leads us to our time today. I think that God allowed this stuff to come to light in our time today because we are entering that final jubilee. That means there's an apostasy coming. So we kind of brushed on this earlier, but at the end of every age, there's an apostasy. Even in the millennial age, the end of the 1,000 years, people rebel against Jesus again, and you know, God wipes them out. At the end of every age, at end of the age of Torah, major persecution, you know, temples being destroyed, and the end of the first age, which is called Age of Creation or Age of Chaos, you have the whole Tower of Babel incident and the call of Abraham. Each age has a massive apostasy, and it usually seems to center around the last jubilee of that age. We're entering in that now. I don't think it's a coincidence all this stuff with Afghanistan and the Middle East is happening to Christians today. But when we understand that this is prophetic, this has been foretold, this is part of the plan, that kind of helps us reconcile, you know what, it's bad, and we need to pray for our Christian brothers and sisters and pray for peace on the earth. But this has been foretold. Jesus told us these days are coming.
Yes.
And so when we have proper understanding of that, we can take some peace in that and realize, wow, we are living in exciting times. Thank God that he caused us to be born now.
So, Dr. Ken, with just the few examples that Josh gave us. By the way, I love both of your books, and I love how you go through explaining all these different details, even how one age and another age kind of tend to bleed over each other.
Yeah, they blend together.
Some of the examples you give, like the birthday party, you're getting ready for a birthday party. So there's some great stuff in there that really take these complex issues, but then put them down into language that guys like Tom Horn and somewhat.
Well, and isn't that what God does for all of us anyway? I mean, you know, when you read a child can read the Bible.
Right.
You know, a child can read the Bible. And but we're always learning and we're always discovering new things, and that's what makes life exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, seal up this vision until the end of time, because there will come a time where revelation is going to become.
And they'll go to and fro, which means going back and forth to the scriptures.
So, Dr. Ken, but with the examples that Josh was given a moment ago, the question then was in the back of my mind, were the ancient prophets who were writing so much, the authors of the biblical texts, were they not only familiar with, but maybe followers of this Essene calendar? And that's why the timing and the dates are very specific throughout scripture that seem to correspond to the Essene calendar, but not the lunar calendar.
There's proof of that too. In the Gospel of John, you actually see both calendars mentioned. So in the Gospel of John, everybody tries to figure out how to make the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus work within the week, you know? How do you fit in those 3 days? Well, when you understand that there's two calendars being discussed in the Gospel of John, then it makes sense. You don't have to pull all these details into one calendar. There's the Pharisaical calendar that was used at the time, but there was also the Essene calendar. So that kind of helps us understand, like, okay, why was this festival? It seems like it was done 2 different days in the same week, you know?
Now, would that have been because God was inspiring John to speak to 2 different communities in existence at that time, and putting it in language they could understand?
Sure, and then for us today, too, it just shows that in that culture at that time, it was a lot more complex than we tend to think of it. It wasn't just, there were just Jews in Israel 2,000 years ago. You know, there were a lot of different factions, even within the Essene community, there were different factions.
Right.
So it really helps add a lot of context to that, but yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of like today. I mean, you have Catholics and Protestants and Baptists and you know, Assemblies of God, whatever. You have all these denominations.
Right.
But sometimes when you're talking about the big picture, you'll try to put it in language. It kind of everybody understands where you are coming from.
Right. And real quick, before we close out, a lot of people have asked me, well, was Jesus in Essene then? Mm-hmm. And like you said, there's all these different denominations in Israel. I would not say that Jesus was in Essene. Jesus was Jesus, and he came to teach humanity. So, but when he came and was born in his ministry, it just so happened the Essenes had the theology that was closest to what Jesus was teaching, and so they accepted it a lot easier. It'd be like today, if Jesus came today, like you said, there's Catholics, there's Baptists, there's, you know, all sorts of different, well, there's going to be a denomination that's closest, you know?
Right.
And they're going to accept that teaching more easily. That's what happened 2,000 years ago. So it's not that Jesus was an Essene. It's just that the Essenes were closest, were the most expectant. They were the ones keeping the actual religious writings of the time and everything.
Joe, based on that, in next week's program, we should start out by asking Dr. Ken about the life of Christ, the missing time frame that isn't there. I asked Mike Kaiser this, and maybe in next week's show I'll tell you what he said. But during that missing period of the life of Christ, was he in Qumran? Was he with the Essenes? If so, what was going on there? Let's start next week's program with that.
Fellas, it's never enough time for Dr. Ken Johnson, Josh Peck. I'm Joe Horn. For everybody in studio, keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back.